From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming via voanews.id.
Listener, how are you today? It's nice to meet you again with me, Rahma, to accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we would like to present some information starting from news from across the country, and so forth. Also, there are Indonesian pop songs. Well, listener, let's begin with the news. Stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, on the frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz, www.voinews.id, and RRI Playgo mobile app.
This is Voice of Indonesia with the news. First, the headlines. Vice President Ma'ruf Amin affirms President Joko Widodo could reshuffle his cabinet at any time. Indonesia included in World Intellectual Property Organization's list of top 10 developing countries for IP application. Now the news in detail. Indonesian Vice President Ma'ruf Amin emphasized that President Joko Widodo could conduct a cabinet reshuffle at any time since it is the president's prerogative right. This was pointed out by Vice President Ma'ruf Amin in Jakarta on Friday, January the 6th, as quoted by Antara. He further said that based on the president's observation, he would conduct a reshuffle if he found his ministers did not perform well. All decision regarding reshuffle would lie in the president's hands. The Ministry of Law and Human Rights has stated Indonesia has been included in the World Intellectual Property Organization's list of top 10 developing countries with the highest number of intellectual property or IP applications. This achievement is the result of the hard work of all parties in increasing the number of applications for intellectual property in Indonesia. Acting Director General for IP at the Ministry, Razilu, pointed out in the statement released on Friday, as quoted by Antara. In addition, he also informed that Indonesia has succeeded in entering the list of the World Intellectual Property Organization's top 10 middle-income countries with the highest trademark registrations. Indonesian Ministry of Religious Affairs will urge the government of Saudi Arabia to increase the Hajj quota for Indonesia at the 2023 Hajj conference in early 2023. Minister of Religious Affairs Yakut Holil Komas, as quoted by Antara on Friday, January the 6th, departed for Saudi Arabia to attend preparation for the 2023 Hajj conference held by the government of Saudi Arabia. The Hajj conference will discuss Hajj preparation starting from the pilgrimage quota, hotels, to food or catering for Hajj pilgrims. Minister Yakut Komas expressed hope that Indonesia's proposal for increasing the quota will be fulfilled. Chief of the Presidential Staff Muldoko emphasized the need for the Indonesian Migrant Workers Protection Agency to strengthen its institutional regulations that can further ensure protection for migrant workers. He lauded the agency for its efforts in providing protection to migrant workers to Regulation No. 9/2020. Muldoko also remarked that although it sounds good and implements the mandate of Law No. 18/2017, the regulation needs to be strengthened to guarantee protection to Indonesian migrant workers more extensively. This news broadcast is coming your way from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Music. Iran says it has closed a Tehran-based French institute over sacrilegious cartoons of its supreme leader in a French satirical magazine. As reported by BBC.com on January the 6th, Charlie Hebdo's latest edition features caricatures mocking Ayatollah Ali Khamenei and fellow Shia Muslim clerics sent in by readers in support of the anti-government protests in Iran. Some of them are sexually explicit. Iran's foreign ministry said shutting the French Institute for Research in Iran was its first step in response. It threatened further action if France did not hold to account the perpetrators and sponsor of such instances of spreading hatred. An antibody drug conjugate, or ADC, called EBC-129, will be first made in Singapore to be approved to enter clinical trials by the United States Food and Drug Administration. As quoted by ChannelNewsAsia.com, today, ADCs are able to selectively target cancer cells across a range of solid tumors, killing them while sparing normal healthy cells. This is unlike conventional treatments such as chemotherapy, which is non-specific in its targeting of cancer cells and damages healthy cells in its process. The breakthrough could address a need of cancer patients who have exhausted standard therapies. That was the end of the news. I'm Anna Trijayakasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The first news comes from Kediri, East Java. Indonesian Ministry of Law and Human Rights issued a letter of inventory of communal intellectual property for traditional cultural expression for the Jaranan Jowo arts belonging to Kediri Regency, East Java. Head of Regional Research and Development Agency for Kediri Regency, Sonny Subroto, emphasized the importance of intellectual property rights so that other regions or countries will not claim Jaranan Jowo as theirs. He explains his site has submitted several regional uniqueness that had been proposed for intellectual property rights, including typical Kediri clothing, sego tumpang, and Mbah Gandrung puppets. Some of those that will be submitted include wayang krucil Kediri keris werongko and Kediri petok keris. The next news comes from Belitung, Bangka Belitung Islands. Hindus in Belitung Hamlet Pelepa Puteh Village, Sijuk District, Belitung Regency, Bangka Belitung Islands Province, celebrated Galungan solemnly and peacefully on Wednesday, January the 4th morning. The customary chairperson of Giri Jati Traditional Village in Nengah Duniarte in Sijuk said, the prayer commemorating Galungan Day was led by Pinandita Ide Bagus Putu Anom and attended by around 700 people. He said Galungan Day is celebrated every 210 days based on the Balinese calendar or the Pawukon calendar. He said Galungan Day has the meaning of commemorating the victory of Dharma or good against Adharma or bad. What interesting is that Bangka Belitung is a region with predominantly Muslim population, yet the Hindus and the Muslims live harmoniously in the province. The latest news comes from Mojokerto, East Java. The city government of Mojokerto, East Java made a monument approximately 2 meters high as a tatengar or marker of the first president of Republic of Indonesia, Sukarno, who lived in the city as a child. Head of the Mojokerto City Education and Culture Office, Amin Wahid, in a press statement in Mojokerto last Thursday, said the golden-colored monuments were built in seven locations as a sign that later Sukarno had been in these places. A number of these places include Jalan Gajah Mada, Jalan Residen Pamuji, Jalan Empunala, the Mojokerto City Government Office Complex, Purwotengah Elementary School, Mojokerto Middle School 2, and Mojokerto City Square. That was news from across Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Today in History. We begin with an event on January 7, 1965, when Indonesia left the United Nations. On January 7, 1965, Indonesia left the United Nations in protest at the election of Malaysia as a non-permanent member of the UN Security Council. Indonesia officially left 13 days later through a letter from the Minister of Foreign Affairs at that time, Dr. Subandrio, on January 20, 1965, to the United Nations Secretary General U Thant. With its withdrawal from the UN, Indonesia automatically left off the membership of several agencies under the auspices of the UN, such as UNESCO, UNICEF, and FAO. Indonesia's withdrawal from the UN did not last long. The next president, Suharto, decided that Indonesia would return to the United Nations. Indonesia's wish was warmly welcomed at the UN General Assembly on September 28, 1966. On January 7, 1984, Brunei Darussalam officially became the sixth ASEAN member. Association of Southeast Asian Nations, or ASEAN, is a geopolitical and economic organization founded by countries in the Southeast Asian region on August 8, 1967 in Bangkok City, Thailand. The aim is to increase economic growth, develop the culture of its member countries, maintain stability and peace, and provide opportunities for its members to discuss differences peacefully. At the beginning of the formation of ASEAN, the number of ASEAN members was 5 countries, namely Indonesia, Thailand, Malaysia, Singapore, and the Philippines. These 5 countries are also the founders of ASEAN. In Indonesian language, ASEAN is also called Perbara or Perhimpunan Bangsa-Bangsa Asia Tenggara. We end today in history with an event on January 7, 1989 when Akihito became Emperor of Japan. Akihito is the 125th Emperor of Japan who reigned in 1989. He succeeded his father, Emperor Hirohito, who passed away. Akihito is the first son and the fifth child of seven children of Emperor Showa or Hirohito and Empress Gojun or Nakago. Prince Akihito ascended to the throne after Emperor Hirohito passed away on January 7, 1989 and officially became the 125th Emperor of Japan on November 12, 1990. Since ascending to the imperial throne, this emperor has tried to bring the emperor's family closer to Japanese society. He made official visits to 18 countries, including Japan's 47 prefectures. Well, listeners, that was Today in History from Voice of Indonesia.
Hujan kini telah berhenti. Sinar mentari dingin juga tiada lagi, hangat terasa di sanubari, datang dan pergi, pergi dan datang lagi. Begitulah hidup ini.
You are still tuned to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at the frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz, www.voinews.id or RRI Playgo mobile app. Listener, the next segment is My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
My Indonesia today is on President Joko Widodo emphasizes the importance of digitalization to boost the productivity of the Rokan Block. President Joko Widodo ended his working visit in Riau Thursday, January the 5th, by visiting the state-owned oil company PT Pertamina Hulu Rokan area in Dumai. During the inspection, the president emphasized the importance of digitalization and the use of technology to increase the productivity of the Rokan block, which is managed by PT Pertamina Hulu Rokan. Quoting the official website of the Cabinet Secretariat, the president in a press statement said, technology and digitalization must be used to monitor all production activities, especially in the Rokan block. He also hopes that the productivity of the Rokan block, which has been taken over by PT Pertamina Management from PT Chevron Pacific Indonesia, will increase significantly to 400,000 barrels per day. President Joko Widodo said that when it was still managed by Chevron, Rokan block's productivity always increased. Now, Pertamina has also started to increase it from 156 to 158,000 barrels per day to 166,000 barrels per day. However, the president wants a more significant increase. The president added that the successful management of the Rokan block, which later become a reference in managing other oil blocks. President believes that Indonesia has human resources capable of carrying out this management, like the Mahakam block. The president also asked that it be managed with the same management. The president also emphasized Pertamina to maintain oil lifting so that it could reduce Indonesia's dependence on imported products. On a separate occasion, PT Pertamina Persero main director Niki Widiawati explained that the Rokan block is currently fully managed by Indonesians. According to her, with this management, Pertamina can prove that oil production in the Rokan block has increased and has even received an award as the block with the most drilled wells from the Indonesian Record Museum or MURI. She further said that after the transfer of management to Pertamina, the Rokan block made an extraordinary contribution to the country in terms of the economy and employment. She explained, employment increased in a short period of time. According to Nike Widiawati, there were an additional 12,500 employees in a period of less than 1.5 years. That was My Indonesia Today.
This is Voice of Indonesia, the overseas broadcasting service of Radio Republik Indonesia. Now we present you Indonesian Wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Listener, here is Indonesian Wonder. The title of the Indonesian Wonder for today's edition is Curug Lontar in West Java. Listener, Bogor is not only called the city of rain, but also known as the city of a thousand curugs. The word curug comes from the local language, namely Sundanese. It means waterfall. Bogor has a lot of tourism spots that are often visited by tourists. Actually, there are many hidden and unexplored tourism spots in Bogor. One of them that is often visited is Curug Lontar. It is located in Kracak Village, Lewiliang District, Bogor Regency, West Java. Its beauty will amaze anyone who visits there. Curug Lontar is part of the Ciantan River, which originates from the Halimun Salak Mountains. It is included in the category of geological site. This Curug Lontar is thought to have formed from the geological process of an ancient volcano, which was approximately 4 to 2 million years ago. The surrounding area is a forest with diverse vegetation. Rare geological phenomena can also be seen in the Curug Lontar landscape. We can see that Curug Lontar falls downward from a 35-meter height of the cliff wall, which is composed of the three types of rock layers. Underneath the Curug Lontar, there is a pool of approximately 7,000 square meters with a depth of approximately 26 meters. Here, visitors are prohibited for swimming or playing in the pool, especially during the rainy season, because flash floods often occur and endanger visitors. With these conditions, it is not surprising that it is used as a source of hydroelectric power of PLTA Kracak. This utilization has apparently been carried out since Dutch colonialism. Curug Lontar tourism spot is open to the public every day from morning to evening. The visit ban is only enforced during the rainy season. The location of the Curug Lontar is not difficult to reach from the parking area in residential areas. Tourists just have to walk down the path for about 200 meters. This road is paved with concrete and arranged into a sloping staircase. The edge also has an iron guardrail. The easy access to this road makes Curug Lontar accessible to tourists of all ages. The trip to the Curug can also be an introduction to trekking for children. The thing that must be considered before visiting here is to make sure the weather is good. In the dry season, the water conditions will be clear and blue. If you are not satisfied playing in the water on the edges of Curug Lontar, you can relax, take pictures, and even play in the stony river not far from Curug Lontar. Well, listener, that's Indonesian Wonder, read by Ahmad Faisal. Thank you.
hatiku saat ku duduk berdua denganmu. Berjalan bersamamu, menarilah denganku. Namun bila hari ini adalah yang terakhir, namun ku tetap bahagia. Selalu ku syukuri, begitulah adanya. Namun bila kau ingin sendiri, cepat-cepatlah sampaikan kepadaku agar ku tak berharap dan buat kau bersedih. Bila nanti saatnya telah tiba, ku ingin kau menjadi istriku, berjalan bersamamu dalam terik dan hujan, berlarian ke sana mari dan tertawa. Namun bila saat berpisah telah tiba, izinkan ku menjaga dirimu, berdua menikmati pelukan di ujung waktu. Sudahlah kau temani diriku. Cepatlah sampaikan kepadaku agar ku tak berharap dan buat kau bersedih. Bila nanti saatnya telah tiba, ku ingin kau menjadi istriku, berjalan bersamamu dalam ke sana kemari dan tertawa. Namun bila saat berpisah telah tiba, izinkan ku menjaga dirimu, berdua menikmati pelukan di ujung waktu. Sudilah kau temani diriku, menjadi. Istriku.
Well, listener, here is miscellany that inform you about interesting events that occur in Indonesia. VOI listeners, Bali province has a lot of beautiful nature and works of art as well as cultural heritage. Much of Bali's potential has been embedded in the form of cultural heritage by the government and the international community. One of them is Balinese arak traditional liquor. This traditional Balinese drink is one of the intangible cultural heritages from the Island of the Gods that has been established by the government. But it's not just the traditional drink of Balinese arak. The Indonesian Ministry of Education, Culture, Research and Technology recently passed 9 other inheritances at once, all of which come from Bali. The 2022 Assembly for the Determination of the Intangible Cultural Heritage by Indonesia resulted in recommendations for the designation of a total of 200 proposals for the Intangible Cultural Heritage of Indonesia from 32 provinces in Indonesia. 9 of them are Balinese cultural heritage, which are defined in several categories. In the traditional craft proficiency category, there are Balinese arak, uyah, or amet saut, as well as traditional foods such as jajé laklak, sate lilit, and serombotan. Meanwhile, in the performing arts category, there is berko. Then, in the category of community customs, rites, and celebrations, there are two cultural heritages that are defined, namely Ida Batara Sakti Ngerta Gumis Memorization Works and the Mejaran Jaranan. And finally, there is Balinese Lontar, which is assigned to the category of knowledge and habits of behavior concerning nature and the universe. The governor of Bali, Wayan Koster, also expressed his appreciation for the determination of 9 Balinese cultural heritages as Indonesian intangible cultural heritage and asked the Balinese to care for, preserve, and develop this cultural heritage. He also asked that the process of making Balinese arak be maintained and should not be careless. Likewise, other traditional specialties. Designation as an intangible cultural heritage is one of the government's efforts to protect cultural products in Indonesia. This protection is the basis for continuing the preservation of these cultural products. Well, listener, that was Miscellany from Voice of Indonesia. From Indonesia to the world. are still listening to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World, 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz, www.voinews.id or RRI Playgo mobile app. Listener, next segment is Music Corner about music information in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, in today's edition of Music Corner, we're going to play a keroncong song entitled Jangan Ngatur Tuhan by John LBF featuring Vivian. In mid-December 2022, Henry Kurnia Adi, also known as John LBF, released a single entitled Jangan Ngatur Tuhan. It is known that the title of the song is his tagline. This 37-year-old man always says on social media to motivate his followers. This is the same as his contents on social media. Through this song, which means Do Not Rule the God, John wants to motivate people through lyrics. This song tells about equality as human beings who will definitely be able to achieve their goals if they try their best, work hard, and always remember God as the creator who has will for his people. Alright, listener, here is the song Jangan Ngatur Tuhan by John LBF featuring Vivian. Happy listening.
One, two, three, go. Ooh.
Adam.
Om John Abel.
Jangan Tuhan.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, it's time for me to sign out now. Stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world on the frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz, www.voinews.id and RRI Playgo mobile app. Don't forget to check our social media accounts, Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram, voice.of.indonesia, Twitter, VOI Indonesia. And don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel, VOI Indonesia. I'm Rahmawati signing out. See you in the next English program.